Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, welcome to our class on Simchas Torah. Okay? And I just want you to know that today is what? September 29th? Wrong. That's what this class is going to be about. Today is not September 29th. Today is Brachas, page 2. We start Daf Yomi over again. The point is, that's what a Jew's life is all about. The day is not Tuesday. It's not September 29th. It's not, you know, whatever it is. It's not fall. It's where you hold it in Torah. Where are you holding in the upcoming holiday? That's what a Jew's life's all about. The physical world's us to use, right? But Torah is the reality, and that's what this class, God willing, is going to be about. Torah is the reality, Torah is our simcha, and it's why we're here. Okay? And this is beautiful. That's what it's about. It's not September 29th. It's Brachas, page 2. That's what we're learning today. I'm Daf Yomi. Okay? Now, did I... So we'll open up with a joke. So, you know, just to kind of loosen things up, since I'm not loose enough. Right? Well, and it pertains to the class, obviously, even though I have a habit of telling stories that have nothing to do with the class. But that's the beauty of the Torah. It has to do with everything, so somehow it can tie in. But this one really does, because Torah, as we're saying, is the reality. That's what we're living. Right? That's mamish our life. As a matter of fact, I think it was the Shargis Arya that used to say, you know, we have a famous statement, and we say it, I think, at the end of Pirkei Avos, I know it's the Vizhasar Rebbe. He used to say, you know, Kol Yisrael, he didn't say this, Chazal tells, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelik L'Olam Haba. All of Israel has a portion in the next world. Right? Right? But this world... This world is just for Frum Yidden. This world is just for Yidden are involved in Torah. You hear? To enjoy this world. Because Torah is mamish our life. It's not like, you hear, it's a mamish, a big statement, right? To enjoy this life, a life that has meaning, that you're going to have a tachlis, a goal headed for, to really enjoy it and feel that you are fulfilled, right? This life, that's only for Yidden that are involved in Torah. Because again, like we said so many times, Torah is not like any other subject matter. It's not an intellectual gymnastics. It's not like philosophies that come and go. It's here forever. And that leads us into our opening joke. You never thought you'd get an introduction to a joke, did you? Now, speaking of philosophers, you see, the problem out there in the world is they state certain things, right? They state certain things, and everybody just sits there and never questions it. And they just go along with it. If you would stop and question the logic of it, right, you would shrug it up. You know, and see that it's a nothing. They would, you know, they just promote certain ideas. You see, the Torah's not like that. The only truth is the Torah. So to illustrate this, we have a story of a great philosopher. What an oxymoron that is. Anyway, and he was dying. Probably the biggest favor he did to mankind. And as he was dying, you know, all his disciples were lined up behind him, you know, because they wanted to hear the final words of their master. Words that would inspire them and lead them in the rest of their lives on what to do and how to do it. Like a mantra, something, you know. So the leading disciple leaned over the philosopher as he was passing away. And he said, maybe you, you know, you being our master here could, Khalilah, not ours, but their master, tell us some parting words that we can live with. Something, you know, that encapsulates all your teachings over these many years. So the philosopher caught his breath and he said, "Know, my son, that life is like a river. Life is like a river. Life is like a river. The disciple turns to the guy next to him and goes, our master said, life is like a river. Life is like a river. Oh, that's deep, deep. Life is like a river. Tells to the next guy, life is like a river. He said, that was his final words. Life is like a river. Goes to the next disciple, life is like a river. Goes all the way down, all these students of his, life is like a river, life is like a river. Gets down to the last student. So what do he say? Life is like a river. What exactly does that mean, life is like a river? Life is like a... I don't really know. I'll find out. Wait. See, ask the next guy. What exactly does the master mean? Life is like a river. Life is like a river. What does the master mean? He goes all the way back to the leading disciple. He says, what exactly does the master mean? Life is like a river. So the disciple. Leading disciple leads over the master, goes, excuse me, but maybe you could explain to us what exactly does that mean? Life is like a river. Okay, so life isn't like a river. That's it. That's what they do out there. You question it, okay, so but that's not the Torah. The Torah is eternal truth. That's our point of that story. Okay, so Simchas Torah. That's what we got to lock into. Now, first of all, you should know that, I'll tell you, it says in Simchas Torah, which in Eretz Yisrael is also Shmini Atzeret, right? The eighth day, it's of Sukkot, but really it's a holiday all to itself. And the truth is that this is a special day between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? As we explained about in Sukkot, about the 7 days of Sukkot having a shaychus, having some sort of connection with the nations of the world, right? And we offer 70 offerings, bullocks for them, right? For their prosperity, right? And then comes Shmini Atzeret, it's just a day between us and Hashem. We explained all that. So, first let me elaborate on that connection with the nations of the world, what's that all about? And then we want to lock on this Shmini Atzeret Simchas Torah idea. Why it's just us and Hashem, and maybe why Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah are one day in Israel. Okay? So, Rav Moshe Feinstein says a very interesting ha'or on this. He says that God created the world in such a way that there's no man, no nation can survive alone. As a matter of fact, in the Torah portion, Zaysa Bracha, God willing, we're going to talk about this a little bit. The idea that no Jew can do all the 613 mitzvahs. Certain mitzvahs are just for Kohanim, certain mitzvahs are just for men, and so forth. So, by being part of all of Israel, associating yourself with the whole nation, so we get credit for each other's mitzvahs, so to speak. Right? So that's how that works. So, this goes at large for the world. Hashem created in such a way that we need each other. Okay, a nation cannot survive alone. Everybody lacks certain natural resources, and they have to rely on others. Right? That's the way Hashem made it on purpose. Okay, and the same way individually. Right? And no individual is self-sufficient. Right? He must depend on others, for the various things he needs. Okay, so when there is a lack of unity amongst the nations of the world, that really, if you think about it, that undermines the whole existence of the world. Since without the cooperation of every nation, right? Since everybody lacks something, these necessities, the whole world will be lacking certain necessities to survive if they're not getting along with each other. You understand? Okay. So for this reason, during the course of Sukkot, we offer these 70 bullocks. We offer 70 bullocks on the behalf of the nations. Right, in order that the peace should reign amongst them and they should get along with each other. That's one of the effects that it had, okay? And of course, this ultimately is for our benefit as well, right? Because if everybody is cooperative, humanity is associated with each other in a peaceful fashion, everybody's able to obtain what they need and prosper, and so too the Jewish people. Now, with the Jewish people, besides the peace and no strife and war, which we always seem to get in the middle of it, right? For us, this is more important because everything in the physical world, as we've said, is really only there for our benefit, to use for Torah. Okay? As it says, you know, in Bereishis, we said Bereishis, the first word, Bishvil Yisrael, Bishvil Torah. Bereishis means, Reishis, that word is used in reference to Torah, and it's used in reference to Israel. In other words, Bereishis, in the beginning, God created the world for the sake of Israel and for the sake of Torah, for the sake of Israel keeping the Torah. And that means everything in the world is only here at our disposal to use to enhance our spirituality, to enhance our learning Torah, to do God's mitzvahs. That's the reason for it. Therefore, blessing the nations with these offerings and the necessity of peace becomes very self-evident for our sake. Because a world filled of strife, a world filled with strife, nationally or individually, right? That would be self-destructive to them, and it would mean it would limit our ability to use the blessings of the physical world, right, for the purpose of enhancing our spirituality due to our mitzvahs. Okay. So the problem that we have today, of course, is that people don't see this. And they see everything in the world just as a means of achieving power, pleasure, prestige, honor, right? These are opportunists, so to speak, and we have people have hatred, they have jealousy, and, you know, they all are just looking for their own individual goals. So that's the idea of sukkahs. The sukkahs, we're trying to get rid of that hatred, the jealousy, and all these self-centered ideals that the people use the physical world for, and that everybody should recognize the purpose of peace and the purpose of harmony to be a functional society. Okay? And with these conditions, obviously, then we, in turn, use the physical world. Okay. That's the idea. Now, this is further elaborated on. That's from Moshe Feinstein. Okay? This is further elaborated on when we have in the creation of the world, when we get to the sixth day of creation, it says Yom HaShishi. It says the sixth day. It's called Hey Agidiyah. It means a hey that's well known, which means the sixth day. What's the sixth day? The sixth day of Sivan. What's significant about the sixth day of Sivan? That is when we got the Torah, Shavuos, right? So that it means that Hashem created the world and it was like in flux, so to speak, until the sixth day of Sivan. Didn't know whether the world would be established and remain with us, right? Or we would lose the world. In other words, if Israel at Mount Sinai said, yes, we accept the Torah, right? Then the world would have a kiyum. It would be established. If we said no, it would go back to null and void. So therefore, in the account of creation, it says, Bayom HaShishi, on the sixth day, the world still was waiting whether it was actually going to exist forever, right? Contingent on the acceptance of the Torah, because that's the whole purpose of the Torah, since the whole purpose of the world, since the Torah helps us serve God, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be serving God and making this a tabernacle and spreading His glory the whole world. Yeah, the Torah is the soul of the world. Without it, there's no really a reason to be here. So that's what we got to concentrate on here. Okay, now, and the truth is, going on that idea. We know there's several ways you become a partner with Hashem in creation. That's an amazing concept. But, you know, as we discussed in Bereishis, God created the world with certain things lacking, or we need to finish it. We need to finish it, and on purpose He created that. Right? One of the best symbols of that is the Bris Milah. Right? To show, just like we have to perfect ourselves physically, we have to perfect ourselves spiritually, and we have to perfect the physical world. Because God wants us to be an ongoing partner with Him in creation. Okay? So, one of the ways to do that, okay, so, you know, when we say a partner with God, immediately we think of parents bringing a life into the world. Right? That's a way you become a partner with God in creation. That's what it says. Every child has three partners. Three creators, if you will. Okay. Now another way is simply by learning Torah. According to what we're saying, that Torah is the reason for the existence of the world. When you learn Torah, you are right now. All of us are a partner in Masa Bereishis. We're a partner, a shittah for the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the establishment of the world, the creation of the world. We don't lock into that. We don't understand that. But if for one moment, I'm telling you, listen to this. If for one moment there wasn't at least one Jew somewhere in the world learning Torah, again, the world would be bye-bye. Tohu vohu. It'd be null and void. That's a fact. Okay? Okay. So, in connection to the nations of the world, Sukkos. After Sukkos, we have Shmini Aseres, Simchas Torah. Okay? Now, it says, these 70 bulls that are offered for the nations of the world are in descending progression. They start off with 13 on the first day of Sukkos, and then 12 are offered, and then 11, right? And it's a sign that their power is going to be diminished, right? And we will... interesting. So this symbolizes, you see, it's a dual thing. In addition to being a blessing to the nations of the world, the fact that 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, the offerings, it shows a diminishing of their power, which for us represents that we will not be physically persecuted. Okay? Eventually their power will be limited, where they won't be able to persecute us. Then comes Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, the same day. What does that represent? The 7 days of Sukkos were showing their power is diminished, they can't harm us physically. Shmini Atzeres, which is just us and God, nothing in between. That represents the protection of our spirituality, the protection against the environment, against the influence of the non-Jewish culture. Okay? It's just us and God. That's what Shmini Atzeres is. Alone with God, we don't have to worry about the physical war harming us anymore. The 7 days of Sukkot took care of that. And now, Shmini Atzeres, we don't have to worry about the spiritual war against our souls. We're just alone with Hashem. That's what this holiday is all about. It says, you know, Hashem says, your parting for me is very hard. You've been up in Yerushalayim all these days. Stay one day. Prepare just a little feast, just me and you. That is Simchas Torah. Shmini Atzeres. Same day. Just HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. And the reason it's the same day is by definition, when you're celebrating just you and Hashem, right, it naturally has to be in Torah. So it makes a lot of sense that Simchas Torah and Shmini Atzeres are on the same day in Sukkos, in Israel. Right? It's perfect. If just you and I, Hashem, of course it's going to be the Torah involved. That also answers another question. If you notice on Shavuos, right, the day of the giving of the Torah, we have no real mitzvahs, you know, besides eating the cheesecake. Okay? Now, if you think about it, you know what I'm saying, like Rosh Hashanah, you have these symbols, you know, the shofar, you know, the kittel, right, and Yom Kippur, you have a special machzor that you use, right? Pesach, you know, you have the matzah. Yeah, okay, and all the Hanukkah, you have the Hanukkah and Purim, the Megillah. So here comes Shavuos, like the greatest day, given the Torah. No mitzvahs, no specific symbols.
Aren't we supposed to stay up all night?
Yeah, we stay up all night, but it's still not a specific tangible symbol. I mean, we stay up all night learning Torah. That's it. The Torah is the symbol. When you're living and breathing something every day of your life, every moment, right? Every moment has to do with Torah. Right? You always got to check, is this according to Torah? Then you don't need a symbol. A symbol is only there to remind you of something. But the Torah is a constant part of your life. You don't need a symbol. That's the answer. That's why, by the way, it says in the brachas that we say, in the morning when we say on learning Torah, it says, it doesn't say l'lomot Torah, it says la'asot b'divrei Torah. La'asot means to be involved. To be involved in Torah. In other words, our whole day is involved in Torah. So we don't need a symbol. And the same thing with Simchas Torah. We don't need a symbol on that day too. Because everything we're always trying to do, every act, there's no such thing as a secular act, a mundane act in Judaism. Every act we have to check, if it's our Pi Torah, is this the Torah way of eating? Is this the Torah way of sleeping? I'm not talking about keeping kosher. I'm talking about, you know, eating for the intentions to be strong and serve Hashem, and sleeping for those intentions, right? Are conducting business, is that according to the Torah's rules, right? Is it ethical, right? So everything in our lives is involved in Torah, and therefore the brachas la'asot b'divrei Torah. We're involved in Torah. That's halacha. We say the brachos once in the morning. That includes any Torah learning we do the whole day, right? And if some deformed guy comes along and wants to say blessings, then he just said God's name in vain. And I'm sure he'll do tshuva before he dies. Okay, now let's move on. That explains also in the Torah why it says the verse. It says Vayisa Ach Sameach. It's a verse in the Torah, Isa Ach Sameach. So we're told that goes on the last day of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah. Ach Sameach means you'll be only happy. In other words, Ach comes to Memayat, to, like there's nothing left, no mitzvahs. You don't have the species anymore, you don't have the lulav and the esrog, you don't have the actual sukkah that you're dwelling in. Ach Sameach, just me and you, says Hashem. Simchas Torah, no specific mitzvahs, right? Just us and a Kaddish Baruch Hu, right? This is that same idea, right? When it's just us and Hashem, which by definition means the Torah, we don't need mitzvahs. We don't need specific symbols to do, because that's mamish, our whole chiyus is in that. Okay? We have to understand that. Okay. Now, let's talk about, again, the nations of the world here. It says at the end of days, I think we quoted this Gemara once before. Again, remember, Bereishis, the world is created, Bishvil Israel, Bishvil Torah, right? For the sake of Israel, for the sake of doing the Torah. So it says at the end of days, that the nations of the world will come, and they'll say to Hashem, give us our portion, our reward of Torah. You know, and it goes through it, and the Romans will say, you know, we built marketplaces and streets and bathhouses, and we only build them for the sake that Israel could learn Torah. That's why he built them. So Hashem will say back to them, Shaitim Sheba'olam, fools. They'll say fools of the world. Right? He says, you only built them for your own pleasure. You know? So, and therefore they'll go away very ashamed. That's a waste. But they ask a question on this. Why does Hashem answer them fools? I mean, they're not fools. I mean, it's more like they're liars. Call them liars. You're lying. You didn't build it for that reason. You built it for your own pleasures. Hashem doesn't say that. He calls them fools. And every word needs to be examined in the Gemara. So they say like this. We said the world was created for the sake of Israel, for the sake of Torah, which means everything in the world is to be used, right, in avodas Hashem, in serving God, right? So, sof, the bottom line is, we really did benefit from those things. We do benefit from the highway system, right? We do benefit from the marketplaces and the bathhouses, right? Okay, that wasn't their intention. But we do benefit, it does make our life easier, and we are able to learn Torah because of it. Okay? So, they're not liars. The bottom line is we are benefiting from it. So they kind of feel like maybe we have a title, maybe we have a share in Torah. So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu answers them, Shaitim, fools. You didn't have those intentions. In other words, you have to have that intention. You hear what it's saying? The Hava meaning, it's a good argument. The argument's good. Had the Goyim had those intentions, they would have had a share in Torah. They would have had a legitimate share. Like we always talked about Zebulun and Yisachar. You know, Zebulun supporting his brother Yisachar and getting an equal share of his Torah learning. Right? So what this means for us, for you and I, it means everything that you do with the kavano, with the intention, right, in this gashmius world, in this materialistic world, to enhance the Torah, becomes a heksher of the mitzvah of Torah, of learning Torah, becomes a part of the mitzvah of Torah. Right? If you're working 60 hours a week, you know, as an FBI agent, whatever you're involved in, right? But you're doing it with the idea that, you know, you're going to use this money, send your children to school, right? Get married first, okay, right? And so forth and so on. And when you have free time, you're going to study Torah, or you're going to support Torah institutions, these type of things, right? That's your intention, right? Then that was 60 hours of work. Is Kaddish Kedoshim, it's Holy of Holies. It becomes part of learning Torah. And not only that, but you're eating, you're sleeping for that purpose, all these things that we mentioned, right? All these become part of Torah. So let's say you only come to a class once a week for an hour. But the truth is, Hashem's going to give you credit for like 150 hours of the week of learning Torah. Because your whole week was surrounded, this was the center of your whole week, the learning Torah. All those things you did was just a hechi timsi to get to this. That was just the means to the end. You hear this? This is a gavaltic thing. I'm telling you guys how you can get 8 hours of Torah learning tonight when you're sleeping. Listen to this. When you're eating your chili dog, right? Don't use cheese. Just when you're eating your chili dogs or Frito pie, you can be, getting reward for learning Torah. If you have that, I got to tell you, this is very important. We do the simple, mundane things every day. But if we have, what's my life about? What am I looking forward to? What's the highlight? What's this all leading up to? So I'll have some time to learn Torah. Or use the money to support Torah. Then all that's considered Torah. You hear? Just like the nations of the world, Tina, the marketplaces, the bathhouses, had they had that intention, all the years it took to build those highways, they would have gotten credit as if they were learning Torah. You hear? That's it. It would seem from this Gemara, Rome, which is Edom, representing this Western culture that we're in right now, including America and Russia. Remember, Rome, Edom, has two faces. Esav is Yaakov's brother. That's America. And Esav is the one that tries to kill him. That's Russia, basically. Okay? So it would seem from that Gemara, they were, in the end of days, they're not going to have a Sharon Torah, that they're doing this for ulterior motives. That doesn't mean individuals, by the way. We're saying that as a general rule. Individuals, Kodesh Baruch Hu is keeping score. Individuals who have these motivations or individual presence, whatever it is, 100%, they'll have a share, yeah. I'm sensitive of America, even though, a lot of Jews could have been saved in the Holocaust, but we concentrate on the fact that it is a Medina of Chesed, and we are living here, and by and large, we never had a time like this, and we're very grateful. That doesn't necessarily mean that's America's intentions. It could be politically, democratic, that this is part of a national policy. I mean, you do see they are a lot more sensitive, right, to more politically, what they call politically correct ideas than Jews. An Orthodox Jew does not have the same chance, let's say, in the work market as a lady or a black or a homosexual. They feel they have to bend over backwards for them. They do not. I know at least three people in this community that got fired for wanting the holidays off. And they wouldn't do that with other groups. Okay, in addition to all these things, that this being a private day between us and Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, the Zohar teaches the following. Let's get mystical. All right, the Zohar teaches that on Shmini Atzeres, we're invited to enjoy a private visit with the king. And we get the blessings for the entire year. It's like a final sealing. Right? So, it says, at this time of a private audience, you should think about this on Simchas Torah, you can ask your heart's desire, whatever you want from, whatever you want, Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's Veis Ratzon. It's a time that Hashem accepts our tefillahs more. Okay? So, Nesiva Shalom says that we make a mistake with this. When we have time such as this, such a divine opportunity, so what do we usually ask for? We ask for tricycles. Lollipops. Lamaisa, that's what we ask for, So, the truth is, we should take advantage of these times and, ask things that are not so selfish. We should ask for the end of the exile. We should ask for God's glory to be spread over the world. We should ask that Hashem always hear our requests and our prayers. Right? So, I'm telling you, this is a very special time. Shmini Atzeres, Simchat Torah, is the final sealing of the year, and the king is very receptive to our requests. So we need to keep that in mind and think out what our request is, what our agenda is. And again, that goes hand in hand with the fact that Simchat Torah is on this day. Our main request should be, Hashem, enlighten our eyes in Torah. Right? Help us find a geshmak in it. Help us enjoy it. Help us find our simcha in it. And so on. Another idea of Shmini Atzeres, Simchat Torah, is the following, is that with all of Sukkot going on, all the festivities, a tremendous amount of festivities during Sukkot, every night there was this celebration called Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and people stayed up all night. They caught cat naps on each other's shoulders for 7 days. Okay, and now, and the Sukkot itself, as we mentioned, is like a Tzel de Munasa. You're in the shadow of faith. You're dwelling with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what happens after Sukkot? You're going to lose the spiritual haven, right? And you're going to go back into your house and your permanent dwellings, right? Where the sanctity there is much less. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in His love this day called Shmini Atzeres. Atzeres means like an ingathering, to contain something, to retain it. Atzeres. Like the stop signs in Israel say, Atzor, stop. So that's it. To retain all the wonderful Hashpah, you know, the influences of those 7 days of Sukkot, that holiness that we had in the Sukkot, dwelling there with our Kodesh Baruch on the clouds of glory, Shmi Atzeres gives us like a vessel to take this, a buffer, if you will, and to take that atmosphere of the Sukkot right into the homes. Because Shmini Atzeres we celebrate in the house, right? So that's the buffer between Sukkot, dwelling in the Sukkot with Hashem, and back to our permanent dwellings. I'm going to flip over. That's what it means in the prayers we say in the holidays. It says, actually we say in Kiddush, V'titen lanu Hashem Elokeinu bi'ava es yom chag Shmini Atzeres hazeh. Hashem, You gave us with love, right, this day of Shmini Atzeres, to ease our transition from the holiness of dwelling with You in the Sukkah, right, to all of a sudden going back to a mundane house. Okay? The Yiddikutter says this. So this is like the buffer for this. That's part of God's love for us, that we can take that, everything we built up all through those 7 days of Sukkot from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and take it to the rest of our lives. And Dovra Melech also said this. Dovra Melech writes, Ze Hayom Asa Hashem Nagila V'nis Mechabo. We have this in Hallel, but it's really Tehillim. Right? This is the day Hashem made. We will rejoice in it. It's interesting. It says, Nagilam Nispacha Bo. Bo means really Him. Okay? In other words, we'll rejoice in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Interesting. He says, other holidays we rejoice like in Hashem's salvation of us. Right? Purim, you say this. Hanukkah, you say this. Pesach, you say this, right? The unique thing about this day, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, is that we're going to rejoice in You. Now, there's no salvation here. Just the fact that You're our God and You gave us the Torah, right? We're going to rejoice in God Himself. That's what Baal Tani used to say. The Baal Tani used to say, God, I don't want Your Gehenna, and I don't even want Your Gan Eden. I just want You alone. That's Shmini Atzeres. That's Simchas Torah. Just You, me and God, You and God, that's it. That's it. It's a personal, private, intimate, Hamish, you know, relationship.
Can we ask for
this? But it's important that you know this. It's important that you know what you're all about. It says, Me'ula b'brachos, the most praiseworthy of the blessings, is the blessing that we say in the morning, Birchas HaTorah. It says, Asher bachar banu mikol ami, that You chose us from all the nations, v'natan lanu es Torah so, and You gave us the Torah. That You chose us and gave us the Torah, that's the Me'ula b'brachos. That's the greatest of all blessings, that You chose us and gave us the Torah. And this is from Derech Hashem, Rav Chaim Luzzatto. It's like pure Kabbalah here. You got to understand, what does that mean, that Hashem chose us? You got to understand, you are a different species. We are a different species than the rest of the world. It says at the time, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave, at Mount Sinai we're talking about, He gave the nations of the world a last chance. Remember, the mission of mankind was given to Adam. Those 10 generations blew it. The next 10 generations blew it. We got to Avram Avinu. Now the mission of mankind is given to one nation, Israel. Mount Sinai, they got a second chance. Okay? And that's what He did. He suspended their final judgment to those times, says Rav Chaim Luzzatto, and He offered the Torah to every nation. Gave them the opportunity to accept the Torah. And they turned it down. Right? They kept, you know, asking what's in it. They're looking for excuses. Right? And this could have elevated them, he says, from their lower state. As it was, none of them accepted, and therefore their judgment was sealed completely. The gate was permanently closed, never again to be reopened. Very stark lesson here. Okay? It remains possible, however, for an individual to convert to Judaism. In this matter, he will include himself in Avram's tree of his own free will. Avram's tree of, you know, spirituality. So, these nations, it talks about the nations of the world, have a human aspect, blemished though it may be, and God desired that they at least have some sort of counterpart of what was actually appropriated for all of mankind. This is very deep Kabbalah. Therefore, He granted them a divine soul. The nations of the world have a neshama, divine soul. Somewhat like that of a Jew, even though it's on a much lower level. You hear this? Intrinsically, the Jew is holier. That means intrinsically, it means we could do a lot more damage. You got to understand that. With the turf, you know, with the responsibility goes the turf there. Okay? So, and then he goes on, they were given certain commandments that they could make, according to their nature, seven mitzvahs of Noah, right? But, and the bottom line is, I'm reading this to you because it goes on and on, very deep mystical stuff, but basically the idea for you to learn from here is that your neshama is different than anybody else. We are mamish very special. We have an intrinsic holiness, and we can learn Torah, and that's the greatest gift we got. That statement, Me'ula Sheba Brachas, Asher Bachar Bani Mikol Amim, Hashem chose us from all the nations. We got to listen to that bracha. The Gemara says that's the greatest praise. Asher Bachar Bani, that Hashem chose us, gave us a special neshama and this attachment to Torah. We got to enjoy that. Good question. Phil asked, what if one of the other nations said they want to accept Torah? So Hashem would have given them, they would have had some sort of piece of Torah. It couldn't. In other words, there's an idea that it didn't have to be exclusively for Israel. I mean, it's a moot point because Hashem knew what was going to happen. But they did. And they say individuals of those nations wanted to accept the Torah. And they became future converts. But this idea of the Torah, I want to go back to this idea of the Torah being, you know, part of our everyday lives and realizing, you know, how important it is and how we have to use it in our everyday lives. So here's an ad for Empire Kosher, Empire Chicken. It says, have you ever wondered what goes on inside? There they are. All these guys that do shechita on chicken sitting around learning Torah. And the free time there during the lunch break, whatever, or lunch and learn. This is what Israel is all about. You got a job, whatever the job is, with your hard hats and everything, and you're learning Torah. That's the idea of Bechol Derechecha Da'eyu. Know Hashem in all your ways. Okay? Yes, Debbie. Now, P. Rav Fran, I'm going to tell you the following dissertation, whatever you want to call it, drasha. Going on this whole idea on Simcha, that the Torah is our Simcha, it's our main life, it's what we're here about. This is what Simcha's Torah, in other words, we want to address the fact, when we're celebrating Simcha's Torah, what should we have in mind? Why are we Simcha's Torah, in joy, in happiness with the Torah? What's good? I mean, there's other happiness, you know, there's other joys in life, you know, all these other things that we do in the secular world. What's going on in Simcha's Torah? The very name Simchas Torah describes the essence of what we're talking about here. It's telling you, you hear? Simchas Torah is telling you the definition of Simcha is only Torah. As a matter of fact, we're gonna discuss this, that you're gonna see the first time in the Torah that Simcha is mentioned by holiday is by Shavuos, the giving of the Torah. Because anytime that's the first time it's mentioned, that tells us the rule is it's the Iker, it's the main Simcha. The first time Simcha is mentioned is by Shavuos. That's to tell you that the main Simcha is Torah. Okay? When Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, he inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash. You know, we talked about David HaMelech made all the preparations. So he inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash, and it was a tremendous yontiv for all of Israel. When they finished the yontiv, it says, B'yom HaShmini, on the eighth day, V'shalchu Ha'am, he sent the nations, Vayelchu la'olayim smeichim, and they all went back home, all to the different cities they lived in. They all went back. When they finally got there, they all went back to their tents, smeichim, happy. They're all happy. You hear? So Yalkut Shimoni, so Medrash says, what does it mean smeichim? What does it mean they were happy? You know, that can mean a lot of things. It says that means nenu meziva shchina. It means, you know what it means? It means they had a spiritual encounter. It means they enjoyed the presence, the divine presence. Right? They were close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's what it means. So Rav Palm Shlita asks on this, how can the Yalkut tell us, you know, smechi means, being happy means they had a spiritual encounter with Hashem? I mean, maybe, you know, they were up there in Yerushalayim having a bus over Yayin, like in every yontav, meat and wine. And they saw all their friends. Right? Ryan, maybe that was why they were smeichim, you know. What's smeichim? It has to be that spiritual encounter. Where did he come up with that? So, if you think about it, any physical pleasure you have, meat, wine, as we say, enjoying your friends, it's a simcha, you know, you enjoy it, it's fun. But how long does it last? You know, whatever it is, the finest food you eat, right? You get home a few hours later. Do you think about it? A week later? Even when you go on a vacation, right? It's a great vacation. Whatever you want to do, scuba diving, whatever it is, you know, sailing, whatever it is, all these things. It was great. It was geschmack. But does it leave any internal happiness, tranquility in you a week later? A month later? Whatever it is, eventually it wears off. No matter how great the vacation is, all bills paid. A new car. How long do you enjoy that? A new suit, a new house. It's geschmack, you enjoy it for a few weeks, a few months, and then eventually that gets old. Right? Right? There's no lasting happiness in these things. So that's it. That's how Chazal knew that Smeichim meant they had a spiritual encounter. Because these people, you got to understand, they came from all over to come to Yerushalayim. And some of them, it took them a few hours to get back home. It says everybody went home, and they all went home in Simcha. Now, some of them lived a few hours away. Some of them took days to get back. Some of them took weeks, months, right? And let me tell you, traveling back then, you know, they could have had a bad trip. Maybe they were in Simcha, and all the way home they lost it. You know, traveling then wasn't like now. You didn't have an air-conditioned car. You know, you didn't have cassettes listening to tapes on tour. You didn't have music. You know, you didn't have your phones, you know, in the car. You could talk to your friends while you're traveling, right? It was a hot, sweaty desert. There was wild animals, right? I mean, think about you and your family go on a 3-hour journey somewhere to the zoo. You know, is everybody happy when they get back? You know, some kid got bit by a bug or something, or someone had to go to the bathroom and didn't make it. Whatever it is, right? You know, just you and two kids, you know. Everybody comes back there completely happy. We're talking about an entire nation. An entire nation, they all went home weeks away, months away, and they all came back and they were still happy. They were still in Simcha. So, there's only one kind of simcha. There's only one kind of happiness that can do that. And that's the happiness that remains and endures from a spiritual encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A physical thrill, they would have lost it on the road. But the sages tell us that they all went home, no matter where they lived, and they still had this intrinsic, internal simcha. That can only mean it was a spiritual encounter with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because that's the only kind of simcha that lasts. No matter what the trials and tribulations. That's true happiness. You know, we try to pursue happiness. You know, we try to grab those elusive good times. Yeah, let the good times roll. Right? And we think it's in these, you know, money, vacations, a promotion, whatever it is, right? A new position, a new house, all these things, right? That's what, you know. And soon they become old. And they gave us a few minutes, a few moments, whatever it is, a few weeks of happiness. Then it was over. And then you know how it works, you know. Today's luxuries becomes tomorrow's necessities. Then you're looking for a new thrill and something else. And the same thing that you got now that gave you such simcha, tomorrow you take for granted. It's no big deal. Now what? What's next? It doesn't remain. These things that we call happiness and the good times out there, it doesn't remain. It doesn't stay with us. That's it. We got to lock on to that. Simcha's Torah. The joy, the true joy is only Torah. The only lasting happiness. The only lasting tranquility and joy is a spiritual encounter, is Torah, is mitzvahs, is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the only eternal happiness there is in the world. That's the only thing that can give you lasting happiness. The more spirituality you have in your lives, that's the happier you're going to be, the more content you're going to be. You know, we try to resist this. We think it's just the opposite. We think, okay, I'll put in my time. You know, I'll punch in for God. Right? I'll do a few mitzvahs, right? I'll keep Shabbos, maybe keep kosher, you know. But I don't want to become too from, you know. Restrict me. I won't be able to enjoy, you know, the outside world. We feel like it's like a straitjacket. And we're afraid the more from we become, you know, the more mitzvahs we do, the more we're going to, you know, amish, handcuff ourselves. Right? And as Pumpferkerk, it's just the opposite. It's mamish, just the opposite. The more spirituality, the more Torah, the more mitzvahs, the more frum you become, you take on, the happier you're going to be. Because it's the only thing that lasts. That's it. In the final analysis, there's only one thing that's going to make our lives happier, and it's going to give us lasting satisfaction. And that's spirituality. That's Hashem, His Torah, His mitzvahs. You know, Rambam writes, Aru Yishenim, in reference to Hilchas Tshuva for Rosh Hashanah, he says, awake, you that are sleeping, Mishanaschem, from your sleep, yeah, V'chapsu v'maaseichem, and search your ways, awake from your sleep, search your ways. V'zachru boreichem, remember your Creator. Eila shochachim es ha'emes behevle azman. Awake, search your ways. You're forgetting the truth in the vanities of the time. Listen to this. V'shoigim kol shnasam behevel v'rik. You spend your whole lives, your whole years, after vanity and emptiness. Lo yoil b'lo yatzil. It's not going to help and it's not going to save. It's not going to last. Wake up. We're sleeping. Our neshama is like in a spiritual coma. We're in a slumber of life. We spend our days and years, says Rambam, running after nothing. Things that are meaningless. The mamish have no longevity. You know, they last 3 inches past as they slide by your taste buds, right, or your nerve endings. That's the sleep of life. Okay? It says, you know, in Avalat Zion, Avalat Zion is a prayer that we say every day. So it says the following. It says we ask Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yiftach Libeinu B'Sarah, so open our hearts to your Torah. It's a beautiful prayer. So open our hearts to your Torah. V'yisembe Libeinu Avascha V'yirascha, give us in our hearts, put in our hearts a love for you, a fear for you. Right, to do your will, and to fill to serve you with a full heart. Again, open our hearts to your Torah, right, and put in our hearts love and fear that we can do your will and serve you with a full heart. And then it goes on, lema'an, why? Lema'an lo nagia lehevel varik. So we don't toil in vain, vanity, and emptiness for no reason. That's what it says. It's saying, here, it's asking a question. If you don't love and fear Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you don't have Torah in your lives, right? You don't have mitzvah, you don't have spirituality, you can't have a good life. Without Torah, it's all in vain. There's no happiness and satisfaction if you don't have mitzvahs in your life. The answer is no. It's all hevel v'rik. It's all emptiness. It's all vanity. The only thing that makes life worth living is Simchas Torah. Is the joy in having the Torah. Is the joy that you can look back when you're 80, 90 years old, and you can look back and say, it was worth it. I had ruchnius in my life. I had spirituality in my life. I had Torah in my life. I had God in my life. I had a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what makes life worth living. The rest, all that stuff out there is hevel v'rik. And we get caught up in the same game. You know the game I'm talking about? Trivia Pursuit. That's what we play. Yeah? Except instead of the game, we play it all the days and years of our life. The pursuit of Narishkeit. The pursuit of trivia. Meaningless things. Heard from my friend. They're discussing a few years ago, which stamp should they put out of Elvis? The Alter Elvis? The old Elvis? Or the Friedrich Elvis? When he was young. Which one? It's such an important issue. That's it. And we get caught up in this stuff. We get caught up in this stuff. It's unbelievable. There's a certain rabbi, this is a true story. It's a true story. There's a certain rabbi, and they took him, and they went by a Jewish cemetery. I couldn't make this up. He saw a particular row of tombstones, right? And you know what he saw on the tombstones? On each one of these tombstones, whole row of them, there was bowling balls. I'm not kidding. There was bowling balls, and the inscription on the headstones read, "We live to bowl." Okay? You know, we laugh. You know, we like Marmish. Some should go in there. How can anybody be so stupid? We live to bowl. But let me ask you something. What are they going to put on our headstones? Fine. It's not going to be a bowling ball. It's not going to be a football or a baseball. What's it going to be? A picture of my Daytona? A logo of my business? Yeah? Picture of the house? The condo in the Caribbean? What's the difference? Your letterhead? That's it. It's no different than a bowling ball. What are we doing in our lives? What are we pursuing and dedicating all this time and effort to? That's what we got to think about. So the first time in the Torah Simcha is mentioned, we said it's Shavuos. That teaches us the Iker Simcha is Torah, the giving of the Torah. It's a day, Simcha's Torah, the Simcha that we're supposed to get on that day is a day of Akar Satov, a day of thankfulness to God, that Mamish Asher Bachabanim Mikol Amim, that He chose us from all the nations, that He Natan Lanos Torah, so He gave us the Torah, that we're not chasing after Hevel Varik. We don't have to chase after emptiness and vanity. They might not know better. I don't know. But us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us and gave us the Torah. This is the Simcha of Simcha's Torah. It's the greatest joy in the world. It doesn't matter what problems you have, what trials and tribulations. Right? At least we're headed someplace. We're not doing our, you know, the trivial pursuit of our careers and everything. We know why we're here. What's our real life? What's the main thing? What's the ikker? What's the main thing? What's the tuffle? You hear? That's what we got to concentrate on Simchas Torah. That's what we're celebrating. We got a Kli Chemda. We have the Eitz HaChaim. And they don't have it. They're just mamish spinning their wheels, going from one pleasure to another with no substance, no real lasting happiness. So if you realize this, you realize what you have, it's not Shaykh that you're sad. You're always in Simcha. Simchas Torah. You're in Simcha when you realize you have the Torah intrinsically all the time, right? I always like to give the mushel. Rob Grossman actually gives it. He talks about, you know, come home, kid breaks $100 whatever chandelier, and ordinarily you'd be very upset. That day you just won the lotto. You won $20 million. You won $20 million. You come home, you find the broken chandelier. So what? Who cares? It's trivia. It's Hevel Varik. It's a Narishkeit. Compared to the Torah, compared to the $20 million lotto you just won, who cares? Right? You won the lotto. That's what it is with us, Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is the realization, the celebration that we won the spiritual lotto. Asher Bachar Banu, Hashem chose us. He picked our number. He picked our number and He gave us the lotto, the Torah. So everything in our lives, it doesn't matter. And if we lock in on this, we mamash have an intrinsic simcha. Nothing can steer us. Nothing can bother us. Right? Little things don't go so well during the day. Right? Right? Someone insults you or whatever it is. A little inconveniences. You stub your toe. Whatever it is. A cold or even worse things. Really things that are troubles. Right? But if you think of it in relation to the fact that you won the spiritual lotto, you got the Torah, you're still going to be in Simcha. Because everything is Narishkeit. The Torah is giving you life in this world, the next world. Yeah? That's it. That's what we got locked in on Simcha's Torah. to realize mamish that without Torah, we have no rudder in the water. We have no simcha. That's the ikar simcha. We have to realize that the Torah mamish makes us, gives us life. Forget about the next world for a second. Ashreichem bo'ilam hazeh. We're happy in this world. That's the celebration of Simchas Torah. That's what you got to remember when you're dancing and you're singing. Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked us. He gave us the Torah. We're headed someplace, right? And we have real, lasting Simcha inside. No matter what happens to us physically, we're going to an eternal world of joy, and we're going to enjoy this world. We're going to get the fullest out of this world. That's what Simchas Torah is all about. Everybody should take the Kedusha of the Chag, and it mamash should embed within us a Simcha, an appreciation, Achar Sotoyev, a gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pashal, a gratitude. Thank you, Hashem, for choosing us. Give us in the Torah. You know, this intrinsic like He has for us for some reason. Right? And gave us the Torah. That's taka. The void of Simchas Torah is to thank you, Hashem. Thank you. And I'm going to go, and the greatest way to thank you, Hashem, is to be in Simcha. Because that's how I show you that I appreciate it. Chag Sameach.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.